Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if for those of us who've been preparing for VBS for the last 48 hours or so, it's been interesting for me anyway to see all the references to forts and castles and things in the hymns. Our shield, our earthly armor fails us, all of that kind of stuff. Some of that kind of stuff is going to come up in Vacation Bible School, so come today and enjoy that. But back in Luther's day, in fact, in Luther's day, Luther had a maid in his house, and her name was Elizabeth. And contrary to Luther's wishes, she left his service. And beyond that, she became so wicked that she gave her soul to the devil. Now, not long after that, she was stricken with a serious disease. She became very sad, very despondent. At her request, Luther was called to her bedside. When he arrived, Elizabeth confessed to him that she felt very sorry for leaving and also revealed to him her greatest grief, namely, that she had given her soul to the devil. "That is nothing," said Luther. "Listen, if you had given all of my clothes to a stranger when you were still in my service, would that have been a valid transaction?" "No," Elizabeth said. "Well," Luther went on to say, "thus it is here. Your soul does not belong to the devil, but to Jesus your Lord. You cannot give away what does not belong to you. Go, therefore, to your Lord and ask him to receive again what belongs to him. But cast the sin that you have committed back on the devil, because that belongs to him." The maid did as Luther advised, and soon she was calm and happy. Now I want you to notice two things about the story. Actually, you can notice more than this, but two things in particular. We're not told that Elizabeth ever recovered from her disease. And secondly, that what Luther addressed was this woman's fear. It was fear of her soul being lost from God. So whether or not she recovered from her disease is relatively unimportant in light of her restored relationship with Jesus. Faith sees us through trouble, not around it. Faith is not some magical incantation that works like a charm. So again, whether or not she recovered from her illness is not as important as the peace that she regained by being reminded that her soul belongs to God because Jesus paid for it with his blood. Faith in Christ is God's gift to us, and that gives us hope. Faith gives us peace with our Maker. Faith opens our eyes to the proper fear of the God of heaven and earth. The proper fear of God comes from understanding two things. One, that our true place is in the household of God that Jesus spoke about today. And two, that we are the Lord's servants or slaves who know our need of his salvation. Now, in the story of Luther's maid, we said that Luther addressed her fear. We all understand fear. Fear has degrees, or there's a sliding scale by which we experience fear. Think of some of the things that produce fear. There's snakes, weapons, heights, claustrophobia, pain, illness, embarrassment. All of these things and more can bring about a reaction of fear, just like Luther's maid experienced. Elizabeth was afraid of losing her soul, of losing her salvation in Christ. This fear came from her response of course, to the idea of eternal pain in hell. From what Jesus said today, it's important to understand what it is that we fear. He said, read this with me. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So, who and what we fear has an element of choice in it for us in this world. That's important. Now, let me give you an example of that choice. It's on a monument in Westminster Abbey. On the monument to Lord Lawrence, you've heard of Lawrence of Arabia? This is that guy. It simply has his name, the date of his death, and these words. He feared man so little because he feared God so much. Now, that element of choice, however, that Jesus is saying, does not exist for people when it comes to the one who can damn the soul to hell. Everyone will face him on judgment day, and then the choice of heaven or hell is his, not ours. So choosing to fear the people and things of this earth, Jesus is saying, makes no sense in light of having to face the judge who can condemn both body and soul to hell. Let me give you another example. Another example like Lawrence of people of faith who choose to defy those around them on the basis, this is important, who choose to defy others around them on the basis of trust in Christ above all else. Say these words with me. Kurios Christos. Kurios Christos. Say it again. Kurios Christos. That simply means Christ is Lord. And it was the creed of a group of people in the Roman Empire in the late 1st century AD. This Christian group was far more politically aware than this simple faith formula might indicate. They lived in a time and place in which all loyal patriotic citizens were required by law to assert and to say publicly and openly once every year, Kurios Caesar, which means Caesar or the state is Lord. So, when these courageous Christians openly pronounced their creed, say it again, Kurios Christos, they were not only saying Christ is Lord, but they were also saying the state or Caesar is not Lord. Three times in today's gospel lesson, Jesus says, not to fear. Not to fear anything in relationship to what man or the state can do. Jesus says that there is one thing to fear, and that one thing is the one who can condemn both body and soul to hell. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that that one who will make that judgment on that last day is the very one who spoke these words in today's lesson, Jesus Christ. In verse 26, we are told to have no fear of them. Who are the them? In verses 24 and 25, it tells us, them are those who have attacked the teacher, the master of the house. In a word, it's those who have attacked and will continue to attack Jesus. These are the them, the disciples, and we are to have no fear of. By the way, are you aware, I want you to be aware, that the disciples were not attacked as Jesus was until after Pentecost. But by then, the attacks of both the Jews and the Gentiles, by everyone, brought no fear to the disciples. Why? Because they, like Lord Lawrence and the courageous Christians who were to come after them, the disciples had come to fear God above all else. It was God who had raised Jesus from the dead after dying on the cross that they had witnessed. And him they properly feared more than the them that Jesus describes today. It's the Jews and the Gentiles together that will persecute the church of Christ. That's what Jesus is making plain today. Since the disciples will witness the attacks on Jesus that lead to his death, then the disciples, as Jesus' followers, as those of Jesus' household, as he talked about, they too should expect what? The same treatment as their master. Verse 31 tells us again to fear not, that we are of much more value than many sparrows. After being told in the previous verses that even the hairs of our heads are numbered, and no, God is not a galactic barber that counts our hairs. But God, in his love, values you. He values you so much that he wants you in his household. So he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die in your place, to earn your entry into his heavenly home, into his household. When we partake of communion, we profess both the death and the resurrection of Christ. In baptism, we've been buried with Christ into his death and his resurrection. We are dead in Christ. We are dead in Christ, and the dead have nothing to fear from others. And professing Christ and his death is what we are to shout from the rooftops. In verse 27 of the gospel lesson, Jesus says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." He uses these images to make a point of contrast. What Jesus, the teacher, whispers in the student's ear, the students, the disciples, and you and I, we are to shout aloud. What Jesus, the teacher, teaches them at night, remember Nicodemus coming at night? They, or we, are to proclaim in the light of day. The point for us is, it's as though Jesus were saying, shout my message from your front porch. What I teach you, you fearlessly proclaim. Ignore whatever ridicule will come. I'm your teacher. And as they treated me, they will treat you. Therefore, don't be afraid, because I have taken on their insults, their slandering, and their attacks myself. You now have the choice to not fear them. You know they can kill only the body. So what? In Jesus we possess resurrection life. Remember that we share in Christ's death so that we may share in his resurrection as well. Recall that what Paul said today in verse 13. But rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. From death to life. There is nothing or no one on this earth we need to fear. So long as we cling to Christ and his word, no one, not even the devil himself, is able to harm our soul. Hear the words from the Old Testament lesson today in verse 13. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Now, I want to emphasize that not fearing man or the devil comes only one way. Only from trusting in God's provision for us for Judgment Day. Our following of Christ's command to have no fear is not something that we do to earn peace or salvation. That peace we possess is God's gift. It is His gift of faith through grace alone. The cross of Christ has paid the price of eternal life for both body and soul for all who will trust in His name. And He paid a fearful price. So we are free of the fear, free of the condemnation of body and soul being separated from God. We now fear nothing in this world because our home, our true household is with God in heaven. Nothing or no one on earth can force us to fear them. Now, I want to finish today with another illustration from Luther's life. Today, by the way, happens to be the 487th anniversary of the reading of the Augsburg Confession before the Emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, Charles V. We even know that reading took place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on June 25th, 1530. But years before the Augsburg Confession was read, there was another meeting. And this meeting Luther himself was at, and he stood before the emperor. At Worms in April of 1521, Luther was told to recant or take back, deny some of his writings against the Church of Rome. This was serious business. The emperor possessed the power to have people executed for just about any reason he chose. And for the emperor, who needed the strength of his relationship with the Pope for political reasons, for him, this monk Luther, who was accused of heresy, he could use this monk for his own political ends. So part of Luther's reply to the emperor included verse 33. From today's gospel lesson. Listen to what Luther said. Because to recant is a question of faith and the salvation of souls, and because it concerns the divine word, which we are all bound to reference, it would be rash and at the same time dangerous for me to recant of anything without proper consideration. I could say less than the cause demands or more than what meets with the truth. In either case, if I recant, I might come under Christ's judgment when he said, "Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now, with these and other words, Luther refused to turn from the truth in God's holy word. Luther remained steadfast to his place in God's household of faith. His proper fear of God outweighed his fear of the emperor sitting in front of him. Remember also, again, I want to call to mind what Luther said to his maid. Your soul does not belong to the devil, but to Jesus your Lord. You cannot give away what does not belong to you, but cast the sin that you have committed back on the devil, because that belongs to him. And as Jesus tells us to do in today's gospel lesson, Luther acknowledged Jesus before men rather than to deny him. May God give each of us his Holy Spirit, that we too may have a proper fear of God and a warrior's courage to speak, a warrior's courage of obedience, to speak of the grace of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. Kurios Christos. Say it again. Kurios Christos. Christ is Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please rise.